Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Honest to God, my Skype is sucking so bad tonight, I don't even know.
Oh, really?
It's like crashed twice on me already.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm starting the broadcast.
Breathe a sigh.
Oh.
Oh, no broadcast?
What?
Oh, it's working. Seems to be working.
That's a great start. Oh.
Are we broadcasting?
Yeah, I think so.
Internet, can you hear us?
You know, there's 10 people in the chat right now. Hey, 11. You Yay. Know what? I've already told Alan that the first time I have to beg for callers tonight, I am hanging up. I'm tired. My leg hurts. I have been running around doing crap because I'm having guests in my house, which is like an event. And I'm crabby. I don't think anybody's listening.
Yeah,
but Brita, look at all these cool librarian tattoos.
I know. I want one. But I'm but you know what? I'm not a real librarian, so I can't.
You're not a real librarian?
I don't have my master's degree.
You know who has a master's degree?
Who?
JG.
Yeah, he's got like 4 of them or something, right?
It says he's online.
Yeah, we're live.
Yay, we're live. And they're already saying I sound like crap.
No, you sound fine.
Their audio feed is breaking up.
Well, you know, it's the internet. What can you do?
Blame it on Al Gore.
That's right. It's all Al Gore's fault.
If Ralph Nader hadn't run in 2000, our internet would be awesome. So, Brita,
yes.
I'm looking at this lady's tattoo. It's 027.625. Okay. What book is that?
It's about library science.
Derp.
Really?
Yeah. That's like super meta librarian tattoo.
Ooh, super meta librarian.
Meta, right?
Yeah.
Meta?
Yeah, it's meta. Yeah. I spent the last 30 minutes tweaking the audio on the board so people that call in, and you
My
should
mom is
call
saying
in.
She hears she can hear last week's show. Oh, mom, you're clicking the wrong button.
Moms. She may be awesome, but she's still a mom.
Well, it was playing last week's show earlier. It shouldn't be playing the last week's show now because we're streaming live.
Wait, do we have a syndication going on?
No.
We need to do that. We need to have, like, a greatest hit so far.
You know, actually, I was thinking about next week when we're not doing a live show, I can replay a previous episode, kind of like a rerun.
Which one should we play?
I don't know. Maybe we should take calls and people can tell us which one they liked best.
There you go. That is a good call idea since we did, like, the least amount of... Actually, this show should work out perfectly because we all phoned it in for what the fuck we're going to do for this show. And so this is like a prime example of, you know, hearkening back to the days of the Squirrel Report of the best shows are the shows that have the least amount of planning to them or the shows that have nothing to do with anything that we did anything about.
That's true. The best ones always kind of veer off in some weird direction that we didn't expect. Yeah. I wanted to know, I had the very late post about the show that I did this evening, about, you know, like 2 hours ago, maybe, I put on there, you know, plus whatever else strikes your fancy or strikes our fancy. And then I was wondering what the hell is a fancy and who the hell's hitting it.
All right. I'll tell you right now, Alan, it's right underneath the labia majora. What you do is they kind of form a Y.
Oh, my God.
You go to where the Y starts, and then you just start writing the alphabet with your tongue.
Oh, my God.
And when you hit it, that's what it sounds like. Do it. Say it again, Brita.
No. No.
Oh, shit.
I hate you. Oh, my God.
Brita,
okay.
You may hate me, but I love you.
Oh, boy.
boy. So anyway. I'm getting reports that the sound is very skippy and almost unintelligible.
Oh, really?
Ugh. Huh. I don't know.
I blame Miguel.
Very skippy and unintelligible.
Yep. I don't know. Maybe everybody's different. Hey, 16 people online. Awesome.
Yeah, there's still Lynn.
SWSG blog. What does that mean? I can't make out the acronym.
SWSG, huh?
SWSG blog.
I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know who that is either. But the
I'm going to guess that G is guns.
I bet it is. But anyway, if you're having audio problems, Squeaky. It's probably local.
Oh, my God. Hi, Squeaky. Squeaky.
Oh, Squeaky Seals. Oh, derp. I get it now.
My former partner in crime.
Yeah. Hey, Bonnie. A shout out to Bonnie.
Bonnie.
I just checked the audio feed, and it sounds good. So if you're having audio problems, it's you. It's not us. I promise. I did a lot of audio tweaking. I was going to say, so the phone calls, when people call in, the phone, the audio on the phone should be a lot better. I was really overdriving the feed into the SIP converter thing there. So
I love it when you AV nerd, Alan. I really do. I really do. You've got a whole lot of passion talking about stuff that people don't understand.
I don't know anything about.
That's okay.
Alex, speaking of AV nerd, in school, when the teacher asked for a volunteer to go get the slide projector, was it you?
Always.
I knew it.
But it was so I could get out of the damn class.
Well, that too. That's just bonus.
It actually reminds me of something that happened at work today. As I was informing my boss that I had totally fucked up an experiment.
Oops.
And well, amazingly enough, it went well, which was kind of a good test for young bosses. All right, is she going to kill me or is she going to go, well, shit happens. You did your best. Do it over. And that's what happened. But we were talking about potential, hopefully, maybe kind of sort of, you know, rub some dirt on it and maybe it'll get better sort of solutions. Ugh. And
walk it off.
One of the new guys walked in and she's listening to us prattle back and forth about all sorts of using all sorts of jargony terms. She goes, I have no clue what the hell you guys are talking about.
Oh,
it's okay. A few weeks ago, I didn't know what the hell I was talking about either.
Learn the buzzwords.
And now I just pretend to know what I'm talking
there
about.
There you go. Learn the buzzwords.
And I still say, what the fuck is that?
Yep. So, I guess, you know what? Derp. How about this?
What? The music?
Yeah.
Play the music.
Yeah, I need to.
Push the button, Alan.
He doesn't know how.
Yeah, I need to switch over.
Oops. He knows how to drive down to Tashi Station and pick up some power converters to overdrive the phones.
That's right, damn it.
But he doesn't know how.
Hey, guess what? It's Thursday, October 4th. Time for the Squirrel Report. And make sure you stop by the blog and look at that neat little video of Bob Ross feeding the squirrel.
It will improve your concentration.
Because it's awesome.
You know, every time you play the music, I have to restrain myself from doing like kind of a jazz hands kind of thing.
What's great is it's radio. You could do whatever you
want. I'm not doing it. I know. The cats look at me funny, but you know.
Yeah, but the cats play with their erection.
That's true. They do.
That's true.
Was it boner time?
No, he did that earlier. We got the catnip and the cat penis thing over with.
Hey, just be glad.
That wasn't the topic. You can see it in person.
Yeah, just be glad that wasn't the topic when I was looking for a title of the show.
I'm really glad.
This week on Cat Penis.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, Brita, just be glad that you have cats rather than teenage boys.
Yeah, that would be worse.
Because, well, it's not that much different. Just, you know, the context changes a little bit. Cat penises can be charming. Teenage boys.
Not so much.
Are just disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, cats are disgusting, too, but people that have cats seem to be like, well, that's kind of cute.
I don't think it's cute.
Coughing up.
Put it away. So we had kind of a weird week this week.
Yes, we did.
For me, every week is weird.
Yesterday, I decided to fight on the internet.
Yes, Brita.
Was it yesterday?
Bully, internet bully Brita picked a fight on the internet.
I am. I start shit on the internet and then, you know, pick on people and then go away. Yeah. It amuses me. I'm sorry.
Because you're mean that way. Mean Brita.
Yeah.
And it's shameful to get your butt kicked by a one-legged librarian.
That's true.
Yeah, it's, you know, that is extra fun. So, can we just get into it and just get it over with?
Let's get into it.
All right. Okay. So even though I'm not a gun blogger anymore, and really I'm not, I don't even like really blog anymore because, well, we'll get into that later. But
you're a Facebooker.
For some reason, I'm on this email thread. I get included in these email threads for some reason. I don't even understand why anymore. But
especially since you're mean to them.
The secret cool kids email back and forth gun blogger thread, I get included for some reason. Probably not anymore since I was, you know,
not so nice about it
last time. But apparently at the... I'm waiting for... Oh, Miguel is on. Good, because I want him to talk about it. So there was the gun rights... What was it? Gun rights conference?
Gun right policy conference. Yes.
Policy conference. Yeah. Gun rights policy conference in wherever it was. And
in Florida.
Labia Majora, Florida.
Right. And somebody said, is it like journalist? Yeah, it kind of is. It's like gunnalist.
Yeah.
It kind of is.
Ooh, gunnalist.
And it's interesting, you know, to see kind of like what goes on the inside. But, you know, I'm now, because I don't blog, I'm not on the inside anymore. So it's kind of like I'm looking in on what's going on. And so at this gun rights policy conference put on by the Second Amendment Foundation, correct? They have a bunch of speakers and they give awards and they have snacks and swag. I don't even know. But it's 2 days full of gun stuff and speakers and pertinent information. And the big drama with this year's gun rights policy conference was that the blogger, is he a blogger? Can we say that? Yeah, he's a blogger, right? It's a blog.
Technically.
Okay. It's a thing that he writes on the internet and it's a blog. So it's The Truth About Guns is the title of this blog. And the writer's name is Robert Farrago. Except he doesn't really write. He steals pictures and blog posts and is a plagiarist and a liar and basically just...
And he gets other people to write shit for him.
Yeah, he gets other people to write shit for him. But he's basically like an ass weasel. Okay. So, and everybody knows that in the gun blogs. And everybody, you know, oh, you know, there's even, you know, a certain blogger created a saying, don't be a Farrago, meaning don't plagiarize other people's shit and then try to get away with it. So the big drama with the gun rights policy conference was that Robert Farrago, the ass weasel, was invited by the Second Amendment Foundation to what?
I was just going to say.
Oh, let me finish.
The entire world got invited, so it's not that exclusive.
Well, no. The entire world got invited, but no, the Second Amendment Foundation asked Robert Farrago, the ass weasel, to give a speech or a talk at the gun rights policy conference.
See, that wasn't very public.
It's on the list. It's on the internet.
Yeah. But they nobody have, was like, talking about that.
Itinerary of events for this thing. So he gave a talk directly following John Lott, who is John Lott, okay? Look it up if you don't know John Lott. Anyway, so not only was this ass weasel invited to give a speech by the Second Amendment Foundation, but then on top of it, they also gave him an award.
A major award.
Whoa! Right.
A participation certificate.
Well, whatever it was, he got, you know, he be basically, they, what is the word? Legitimized.
Yes.
The Truth About Guns blog. Even though everybody knows in the gun blogosphere, you know, the cool kids gun blogosphere, they know, oh, this guy's a plagiarist and he steals stuff and he doesn't attribute and he doesn't link back and, oh, he's terrible.
Right.
So, and hence the drama exploded. And in my mind, it just kind of, I've been saying for a while, I think blogs are going by the wayside, to put it gently.
Yeah, so, but you said that about Betamax too.
I see it. And LPs.
It's making a comeback.
Okay. Right. So that's the backstory.
Laserdisc.
And so, you know, this whole back and forth email thing ensued and everybody had their panties in a twist and, oh my gosh, there was letters written to the Second Amendment Foundation and blah, blah, blah. And oh my gosh, what are we going to do about Robert Farrago? Well, you know what, gun blogosphere? Robert Farrago has been around for a while and doing the exact same thing that Robert Farrago has been doing. I mean, he hasn't changed at all.
Nope.
The only thing that has changed is that the cool kids of the gun blogosphere had their little egos hurt because Robert Farrago got an award.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
Actually, if I may jump in and kind of disagree
do
with
it.
That.
Do it.
Absolutely. I don't think it was so much of the, and I'm also one of the super duper cool kids.
Yeah, we know.
Super duper cool. Like, I am so fucking cool. As he says, stifling right. Laughter. So, you say stuff like, you know, the only thing that's changed, because yes, he's been around since day one, and actually he's gotten, right. The more attention he's gotten, the actually less egregious he's gotten. I think his absolute worst stuff was when, you know, his blog first showed up, you know, out of goddamn nowhere. It was amazing. It was like, where the fuck's this, you know, where the hell is this blog? I mean, I remember the first time I started seeing it going, oh, wow, there's a blog and it's a kind of a big one. And how the fuck have I not heard about this? You know, I like reading gun blogs and this is a big, crazy right. gun blog. I need to start reading this. And I started becoming a regular reader. It became one of my daily things. It was, I'd read Say Uncle and then I'd read the firearms blog. And then I'd go and read The Truth About Guns because they were huge and, you know, mega aggregating. And it was a good way to, you know, to catch up on mm-hmm. a lot of current events and stuff like that. He produces a ton of content and, you know, he's a hardworking guy. You got to give him credit for what he does do.
Okay.
But I started noticing that he started, you know, early on, he just was constantly poking the old drama llama with a stick. Going, you know, oh, it's stuff like, you know, originally he was against open carry and, you know, that's awful. And you're just doing terrible things. And, oh, I can't believe states are giving people carry permits without having them do training courses. And, right. Oh my God, I can't believe Arizona wants to, I mean, this is before Arizona got their constitutional carry, but when they were pushing it through the Senate, he was super against it going, why would you have people not get permits to carry? And then mm-hmm. Arizona passed its constitutional carry and suddenly it was the, oh, why would people demand that you have special training and why would people demand that you have concealed carry? We're defenders of the Second Amendment and all that. I mean, just completely going back on himself. And that was actually the first thing I said to Robert Farrago when I met him, as I shook his hand, I introduced myself and I said, you were against open carry and against, you know, and in favor of mandatory training and all of that stuff. And then you went against it. And you never went back on all that. And he goes, Well, I don't remember saying any of that stuff. Lying to my face. I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Yeah.
But I would say that the big difference here is, and I think the big reason that spouted all of that was not so much outrage that he got an award, but outrage that the Second Amendment Foundation, which I'm a life member of, and I've got to say it's the I'm also a life member of the NRA and life member of the Gun Owners of America. Gun Owners Action League of Massachusetts. I'm not a member of Gun Owners of America. Never will be. Fuck them. Member of the Second Amendment Sisters. You don't have to be a woman. Hooray! My wife. But of all those groups, including the Gun Owners Action League of Massachusetts, which is, you know, the local state guys are really the big dogs that get a lot done. But I still originally I was always saying it's the local state people that are really the people you need to support first before dealing with like someone like the NRA, because they're the ones that really have the most leverage. But the Second Amendment Foundation is the one that's getting shit done. They're the people behind Heller. They're the people behind McDonald. Everybody else that says that they were behind those cases were Johnny come latelys, and we're heading in the lead. They're the people that are really taking the band. But the big issue is they've got a website that's like a step above GeoCities. They're running this. Yes. Conference. I really want Miguel to call in just so I can actually see, because there weren't that many pictures or anything like that. I want to kind of know what the conference was like, but it sounded like it was pretty much just a college series, college lecture series sort of situation. Mm-hmm. Not a particularly good use of what you would call, what you would have for a conference. It struck me as, very, 1997. Sort of situation. And I think it's just one of those things I think it was pretty obvious that they don't read the blogs and they don't do a whole lot of the, new media sort of stuff. It's just like, when a politician has a Facebook page, John yes. McCain had a Facebook page.
Yes.
He doesn't even know how to
let me just interject here. Alan Gottlieb and the Second Amendment Foundation separately, both of them actually have Facebook pages. Mm-hmm. So yes, they are kind of on top of the whole social media thing.
Well, but I mean,
it's not completely foreign to them.
I don't read their Facebook page. Well, but just because you have one doesn't mean, doesn't mean that you're on top of it.
Okay.
Them having a Facebook page is like the person that has the old 1911 or the old Smith & Wesson Model 10 tucked up underneath a pet set of towels in their closet doesn't necessarily mean they know how to shoot the fucking thing just because they have one. And I think the big issue, and I think the big reason why the letters were written was just do you guys even know what the fuck was going on? Mm-hmm. And I happen to believe them when their response was, no, I hadn't heard any of that.
And yet.
Okay. And yet.
And yet. Given all that, and the fact that they don't pay attention to the blogs or basically anything at all, they still have done more for guns and gun owners and gun rights than anybody in the last, 100 years?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I've heard some people say, oh, I'm gonna distance myself from the organization if they don't, do their best to make right. And I wouldn't say that because, in the end, give him a bunch of awards. Let him stand up and make a speech and all of that. And it doesn't sound like he was making his, Robert Farago 1.0 type talks of the, oh, there's no reason to have assault weapons and that sort of nonsense.
My understanding that he was talking about SEO and stuff like that.
Yeah, how to game the internet, kind of, for your
In that case, he is probably the best.
He's probably the expert,
which makes you wonder why did the Second Amendment Foundation ask him on?
Yeah,
who really is aside from Robert Farago, apparently, who is like the top gun blogger?
Chance,
Sea Uncle. you know, whomever else, but somehow Robert Farago got asked. I'm curious as to why that was.
Well,
did they probably, just look at
probably
did they
just or something?
Look at how many blog hits he
hey,
gets per day.
Instapundit links to him. He must be big time.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
And let's see if like we can that. Add Jay.
Also, at the same time too, like back when Farago was early and really doing all the dumb stuff,
maybe
he was appearing in like, you know, the Washington Post and all these other, you know, all he's got a ton of press in a lot of the old, you know, Dead Tree Media, where they called him up to get his opinion on this gun issue as they wanted to get a pro gun person, and most of the time he made a total fucking ass out of himself and gave them fodder, because back then he didn't know fucking shit about guns. I mean, you can't do what he does long enough, that, you know, as long as he has, and not learn quite a few things about a lot of things about guns. I mean, he's gleaned some information from, you know, back from the days when he was living in England writing car blogs. But
hey, Miguel's calling in. Let's
excellent.
Add him. Hello, Miguel. Can you hear me? Hello?
No.
Miguel?
Or is he getting ready a sound cut?
I don't know. Hello, Miguel.
Oh, well.
Oh, we'll see if we get him back.
We'll come back. I don't know. I just think it's very curious, the response after this whole award thing, you know, how much ego is invested in these blogs that get like 400 hits a day, you know. I'm yep. looking at it from the outside, and I'm thinking, you get 400 hits a day, honey. You're not changing the world, really. I mean, blogs in and of themselves are, you know, they're designed to be kind of like a niche thing. You have gun blogs, you have knitting blogs, I read nail polish blogs. There's all sorts of blogs for everything. And so it's like all these tiny, tiny little small ponds, and then the bloggers who, just because they sit down at the computer and write, and 400 people a day out of the entire world read them per day, they think suddenly they're these giant fish changing the world. And I just think it's really interesting that, you know, they got gamed by an ass weasel, and now everybody's like freaking out. What are we going to do about Robert Farago? Honey, there's nothing you can do about it because he's won. I'm sorry. Mean Brita.
Yeah, you render me speechless.
What? I'm sorry.
I think
that's what it is. I mean, unless we're going to all become SEO experts like Robert Farago, there's nothing you can do because he's winning the game on you. You know, enjoy your blogs is all you want. And, you know, connect with your friends and trade information. And it's terrific. And as long as you're having fun, do it. But don't think that, you know. I don't know. It's just so strange to me now that I'm like looking from the outside in, that I'm like, people are just so wound up about such a tiny little thing. Is Miguel on the line so I can stop talking now?
Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
No.
No, that was Alan. Well,
that was me, but I was just here. We'll get it. All right.
Thanks, Alan.
Now Miguel is on the phone.
Okay, good. Good evening.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus?
Hi.
I thought his name was Miguel.
Hi, Miguel.
Hi, Miguel. Hello? Can you hear us?
Crappy, but I guess I can.
Oh. Crappy?
Oh, you sound like all of a sudden you're taking a crap in the bathroom.
Oh.
I did that before the show.
I can't help that.
Awesome. Nor did I.
Yeah.
Okay, and I just hear you.
You don't hear the other people?
I mean, yeah, that's kind of a blessing right there.
You can't hear me, Miguel?
Okay, you want to try again? Fix the thing, I'll call you back.
No, hang on. How about now?
Nope.
Weird, you got to talk or something.
All right, Miguel, I love you.
Nope.
You didn't hear him?
No.
Talk to Miguel, Alan.
Okay. Well, anyway, the Weird wanted to ask you about the gun rights policy conference and your experience there.
Like they said, like you guys were saying, it's kind of a very 1990s. I'm guessing they are stuck on doing what's been working for them all these years. So, what is it, 27 years they've been doing it. They are good on the legal stuff. There's no question about it. But they need to update themselves on the new media and the new stuff. I mean, I had a post on my blog about it. And yeah, they need to keep the meet and greet because a lot of people, you know, enjoy that kind of stuff. But they had so many speakers and good speakers, but you end up having the tweet version of whatever they have to say because, you know, they were staying on stage for 10, 15 minute stops. Mike O'Mara was the quotation and quote rock star. He got 25 minutes. Okay, between him, John Lott, John Guttmacher, and I forget the other guy from Florida Carey, I could have done a full day with those guys alone. So they need to improve, modernize, to put it that way, the format, and you know, bring it back to 21st century. And it cannot just be, you know, one big stage. I think Rob Allen from he said he make a comment also in his blog that we need to have like panels and multiple, you know, rooms. You know, you can select one subject and just, you know, beat it to death, 2-3 hours on it, and you pick and choose whatever the hell you want. Yeah. To keep and then those who cannot go, you know, they can go and, you know, have a webinar. That's my, you know, my proposition is have a webinar, charge for 2 days $100. I mean, I spent close to $400 just going there. I was living in Florida. I mean, okay, I would have paid, you know, good money, used $100 easily for 2 days of full access via webinar.
Yeah, you spent a lot of money.
In you know, it would be great. I mean, you get, you know, you're at the comfort of home, you know, you're on these and your flip flops, you know, having a cigar and a brandy, and you're, you know, watching all this. You can have a chat room. You know, I post on my blog, if you morons can come up with a live show with Collins, and the Second Amendment Foundation can do it.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Thanks, Miguel.
I mean, but this is an old generation. Okay, that's the other thing they need, and I guess they're working on that to bring new people to start taking over. And but you know, all habits die hard.
Yeah, but you know, Miguel, the whole thing, you know, multi-track conferences have been around for like since the 70s or maybe even before. I mean, they've been doing that kind of stuff. Like, that's like standard conference shit, you know. Mm-hmm. Have multiple rooms going and people break out into different tracks and of what they're interested in. And, you know, you got the legal side and you got this and that and the other. And they've been selling video, you know, and you know, DVDs of speakers, you know, ever since those things existed. Mm-hmm. So none of this is new shit. So the fact that the SAF doesn't bother to do it means that they don't want to do it.
I don't know. Listen, it's This is not a group that's come up with a lot of cash influx. They have 600,000 members, and but very few. The views, you know, basically, if you want to pay, you pay. If you don't want to pay, you know, you still get their stuff. But they are a little bit dated in that sense, and maybe, like I said, their mission is not doing this kind of stuff. Their mission is fighting court.
Right.
Okay, they have to put all their ammo into that. What I think is they're a little bit too controlling for their own benefit. They could have a media department. I'm guessing that they, out of 600,000 people that have membership, they could find a couple of freaking volunteers and web shit, you know. And like I said, it doesn't have to be this gigantic, fantastic, flashy, what is called Cisco system thing. I mean, it could be something simple, you know, the web camera and, you know, a little microphone and a chat room like this one, and people are commenting and, you know, make your questions, and they can read it out of the chat room plus questions from the people in the audience. And yeah. it doesn't have to be now, so.
Well, so I'll tell you that part, what you're saying there is extremely difficult, and it barely works for the scroll report.
Okay, Adam, wait a second. Again, I will repeat myself. If morons like you can come up with this shit, adding a camera is not that difficult. I mean, these are people that face the Supreme Court. You know,
we need to quote that and put it on.
Okay, I'm guessing there's some comments in the background. I'm not hearing, so I better shut up.
I don't understand why you can't hear Weird and Brita, because whatever.
This is actually pure torture for Brita. I mean, she's trying to insult me. I know she's trying to insult me, and she can't. So
he's paranoid. He's paranoid about me now.
I can't believe
you. I love you, Miguel. I think you're adorable.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
And funny and brilliant.
Brita. I mean, poor thing.
How can you not hear Brita? That's ridiculous. And
tell
you can hear me.
You can
hear me, but you can't hear her. I don't understand. That's weird.
Well, it's a pity I can't hear it. I mean, count it as a blessing that I can't hear Weird. So,
Oh, damn.
Okay.
Talking about Miguel. Miguel, I think
okay,
you're
keep
great.
Going, guys. Keep going. I'll let you be.
Thanks, Miguel. Bye.
No problem.
Ah, crap.
Why did that happen?
I don't know.
Rick, somebody else call in. So
I'm gonna call in on my phone.
I'm gonna blame it on the Spanish.
It could be the Spanish.
That's right. We aren't. The Squirrel Report is not subtitled. But we need to put that on T-shirts. If morons like you can put this together,
I don't think that.
Yeah,
needs to
we
be on a
we
t-shirt.
Actually who made the T-shirt? It's easier than thinking. We do need t-shirts of that.
Oh, is that Alan trying to call in? Hello, Alan. Yeah,
let's not do this now.
Me. And you know what? I cannot hear y'all.
Oh, wow. My God. Okay, then hang up.
What?
You know, Weird. This yes. would probably be a good thing to try, test before we're on the air.
I did, and it was working fine.
Although it kind of gives the show kind of like a flavor, like,
It's like those, the Onion, the Onion, they've got their Lake Dredge appraisals, and they set it up. So I want to know how much technology you have to put into to make it look like shitty VHS. we definitely got this public access sort of situation, this pirate radio sort of feeling.
Yeah. Well, okay.
God damn it.
Well, so you're packing to go to. Okay, we are down a host. Jay is somewhere in the wilds of Colorado, and you're joining him.
Yep. Heading out tomorrow morning.
Excellent. You're gonna have such a good time.
I'm excited. This is my first rodeo.
I did not know you were going to Blogorado this year. Weird.
Well, I've been kind of quiet about it because it's kind of an invitational thing, and so I didn't want to be a dink.
Yeah, but that's good. Oh no!
Somebody's calling you, Weird.
Nah, somebody just sent me an email. I don't know what it is. I can check though. I will check online because that is good radio right there. Yeah, somebody sent me an email. Oh, it's Ticketmaster. Whoa, was that a hawk?
No, somebody's lighting up fireworks outside for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, that's awesome, Brita. Go pop one in them. If the cops come, say they got hit by a firework.
And the cats freak out. Okay.
Cats can stick to the ceiling.
Yeah. Everybody has their ears back. What the hell was that?
Not me. My ears stay right where they are.
Yeah.
But not Obama's. He can do that.
If anybody else wanted to call in on the whole blogging is dead issue, that'd be great. Our number is 214-530-0036. Another reason I've been thinking, and this is not, on Sebastian Snowflakes in Hell, whatever his blog is now, he put a post is Farrago killing gun blogs. And no, that was not the point at all. I think gun blogs or blogging in general is changing. And you're seeing more and more of that kind of SEO thing going on. And you're also seeing things like Gun Up that
Are you seeing Gun Up?
I don't know. I don't even know if it's a going concern, but I still get emails from websites that are trying to be like a Gun Up or a whatever is the new thing. And it's kind of like people are trying to profit off of people, you know, who are actual bloggers. And it's changing. You know, blogging is changing. Well, and I mean, everybody's trying to monetize, and everybody's trying to get ads, and it's a different thing now.
Well, I think it's bigger than that. I think it's really the fact that guns and gun culture are changing. I mean, when the gun blog started, it was we were still on the run. We were still on the every time a shooting happened, we were like, what's going to be the next what's going to be the next restriction. I mean, that was exactly what I thought when I saw when I was watching the news report for the Virginia Tech shooting. As I said, shit, we're gonna have to fight. We're gonna have to fight whatever the hell they throw at us from this. And it never happened. That was kind of the turning point for me. When the Colorado thing happened, people started going, "Oh shit, the Annies are gonna really run with that." And I just said, "No, they're not. They don't have a leg to stand on," and they didn't.
Right. And a lot of the gun blogs that became popular and were the first gun blogs, all pre-Heller, and it seems like things have changed a little bit post-Heller, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like there's less, I don't know what the word is, but.
Let me put it this way. My wife called me into the bedroom last night and said, watch this clip. She was watching clips on the computer. And she called me in, and it was Bill Burr, who's a fucking amazing comedian. But I'll get more into him in just a second because this is important. And he was on. It was a clip from him on Jimmy Kimmel, and he was talking about going into a gun shop. He's thinking about or has, or who knows how true it is. But essentially, he was talking about going into a gun shop and listening to all the bullshit from the gun shop guy talking about shotgun because you don't have to aim and all that stuff. And I was laughing because it's like, these are the fucking jokes that Tam was making, back, in the dinosaur days of blogging and all that. And it was just, and it was only people who were reading gun blogs and people who were chatting on gun forums who were laughing at these things because nobody else got it. Nobody else thought it was funny. Nobody else knew anything it about. And now you've got a comedian who was born and raised in the Metro Boston. I think he was born in Somerville. I think he lived in Somerville all his life, which is one of those towns where if you go in and say, "I'd like to get a carry permit," they tell you to fuck off. And he was living in Somerville, and then he moved out to California. So like he's always been in the belly of the beast. This is the exact person who you would expect to make some sort of ignorant anti-gun comment and totally be able to, I don't blame him for that he doesn't know any better. And here he is essentially doing what is the comedy side of the gun blogs on national TV during an extremely popular late night show. And that's really it. Is it's one of those the Johnny Come Latelys are starting to come in because it's one of those guns and the gun issue is one of those things you just can't lose at.
No, you can't. And it seems like the gun community or something, gun blogs. It seems like it's a little saturated. It's hard to break into the gun blogs, people. Good luck to you if you're trying to do it. It's hard. Another thing about that was another issue I was thinking about, death of the gun blogs. Alan right now is trying to work on getting the phone to work.
Yeah, fucking we never liked him.
He's doing something, sacrificing ass weasels or something. I don't know, but
he's got his penis out. We know he's got the catnip and the penis.
Oh boy. Okay.
totally derailed you. Yeah.
Totally. But that's, no, that's I was going to make a point about blogging is that I've kind of noticed that there's like this thing with certain bloggers don't want to do Facebook. And that's fine. You included.
Me. Except,
yeah, I know. But, you know, a lot of the big gun bloggers who are happy blogging, and that's their media. They're happy doing that. They are reluctant to branch out into new stuff like Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And it always reminds me of the old dudes who come in the library and ask for the VHS tapes. And one of my ex-boyfriends worked at Borders Books, and he had an old guy come into Borders, and he was asking, do you have any of those long players? You know, LPs. Ooh. And
I have some of those.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a generational thing, or, you know, people like to do what they've always done. And I wonder, because I don't have the numbers on this, I wonder if, you know, blogs are run by people who've always blogged, and they're read by people who've always read blogs. And I'm wondering, like, are there new readers coming in? Is it branching out? You know, is readership expanding? Or is it just kind of like the same little group? Like in the forums, like in gun forums, it's always kind of the same people in the gun forums talk about stuff. And that's fine.
I would somewhat disagree, but only somewhat.
Okay. I don't know, because I don't know. I'm just wondering, like,
I'm always getting, you know, new eyeballs, but, you know, for my blog and I watch my numbers, not because I care about how many hits I get or that I want to brag about it or that my numbers are particularly spectacular, but it does. It's one of those things that it does. You know, there are things that show, you know, what's going on with this. And like with the Farrago thing, it was kind of one of those things of the, yeah, it's beating the drama llama. But
right.
Meanwhile, the people that read my blog actually really like that. They like to get into it. So I said, you know what? And it, you know, it seems to be, you know, the joke was Farrago contacted me and went, you know, if I could do anything to help drive traffic to your blog and we can make peace on this, you know, go ahead. And I'm like, you linked to my blog after you stole some of my shit.
Yeah.
And yeah. I got next to nothing. I mean, it's one of those Sebastian had you know, hit Sebastian's post, you know, has me as one of the, you know, one of the first links on there. But there's about eight different links or whatever. There's a ton of links there. So it's not a, it's not like, you know, when Chance or Tam links me and I'm the, you know, and they're just quoting something I said or mm-hmm. Joe Huffman. Those are huge days. Those are huge right. days because I get a whole ton of people because they uh-huh. see a link to click and they click on that one. When there's a whole bunch of links, yeah, they might click on one or two of them or they might just go, eh, there's a lot of links there. I'll,
right.
you know, just read the content. You know, so I haven't gotten a ton of traffic from Sebastian's blog. But still, saying that, the modest amount of traffic I've got is more than Farrago drove to me when he made a post exclusively about me and stealing my shit.
Yeah. Now, here's a question. If Robert Farrago had asked you or linked back to you, would it have been a different story?
No, because this was after he had. I mean, this is after I'd known.
After he became an ass weasel.
Yes. Yeah. This was after he shook my hand and I shook his hand. And I honestly speaking was, I had some issues against him at that point in time. Cause he had already pretty much proven his point when Jade Gold came onto his blog. It was pretty much right. doing what Jade Gold does. And if you follow blogs, you know what Jade Gold is. He is yeah. the quintessential troll. And he right. was just throwing all these inflammatory, filthy, horrible, just obnoxious. He was, you know, the high school bully, the guy that's too dumb to really truly insult anybody. But everything mm-hmm. he was saying was just pure, you know, pure poison. And those stayed. But like when I pointed out, someone was saying, what, you know, a couple of his, you know, his readers were saying, why are you just letting him keep doing this? He's not adding anything. He's just cussing and being obnoxious. And I said, well, that's easy because Robert Farrago is more interested in drumming up controversy than that. post got deleted, but all you gun nuts who just want to kill people, that stayed on. That was perfectly acceptable. So I already had an idea about him, but when I met him in person, I'm like, I've met a ton of gun bloggers, and a lot of them, like you and Alan and Jay, are prime examples of when I met you guys for the first time. It was a no different experience than talking to you guys online.
Right.
But there's a bunch of other bloggers that come a little bit more out of their shell, or they've got kind of an internet persona that they push, and it's not 100% what they are. And
right.
That's all well and good. I'm not saying bad against that. If you want to brand yourself, if FPS Russia, if he's a dude from Georgia, he's a Southern boy with a Southern accent. If he wants to pretend to be a Russian because it amuses people and it gets him a ton of views, go right the fuck ahead. But at least wear some goddamn eye protection and ear protection and don't kill your cameraman.
Oh, he also just sold out to some video game thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, he did a video, one of his FPS Russia videos, with this fake quadcopter machine gun bullshit thing on it.
Oh, dear.
It was a complete fake. It was supposed to be like a, one of those stealth marketing things. And anyway, it was bullshit.
Now, we all met Robert Frago, though, at the Second Amendment Foundation thing in Pittsburgh, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, this just jogged my memory, because I work with the Second Amendment Foundation to do that kind of party thing, and I did all the RSVP work, and I kept a list of everybody who RSVP'd for that party, and I just went back and I looked, because I kept a record of everybody's email and stuff. And Robert Farrago, this cracked me up. The email he sent the RSVP from.
Oh,
was it loads of money?
I remember
loads
this.
Of money at me.com. It just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
He's a class act, that guy. I gotta tell you.
I think this is. Let me get Bonnie on here, even though she can't hear
you.
You
think it's gonna work?
I don't know. Fuck.
All right.
I'm so pissed off right now.
Okay, it's almost 10 o'clock. Hang
is
in
this
there.
Bonnie?
Hello,
Bonnie.
It is Bonnie.
Hey, hi.
Well,
Bonnie,
Brita,
can you hear us?
Brita and Weird can hear you, Bonnie, but you can't hear them, so.
Damn it.
Can
you not hear us, Bonnie?
Some weird thing to be able to hear them, like listen to them on delay?
No,
or?
It's just fucked up. There's something's wrong. I think a channel on my, for you audio geeks, the mix minus channel on my, the auxiliary sin channel on the mixer seems to have crapped out, so.
Well, if I ever do record a demo album, I'm not going to ask for your help. No offense.
Good.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, the blogging is dead issue and, like, why I got into it and why I'm not blogging as much anymore, aside from, like, illness and school issues and things like that.
Cause good.
I think that's really important for people to talk about, particularly people who've been in the game for quite a while. And I haven't been in as long as a lot of other people, but I started blogging in 2007, right after the Virginia Tech shooting. And I was like, it just pissed me off because everyone was like, oh my God, if he hadn't, had a gun, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, or rather if they hadn't allowed the gun on campus, I think was really what people were saying. And I said, you guys, it doesn't matter. There's not like an invisible fence that like on, fucking Firefly, that doesn't let you into the ballroom if you have a gun on your person. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, he got on campus, he shot 32 people, and it happened, and it sucks. And the only way we can avoid that is by making our laws better so that more law-abiding citizens can have guns and, fewer criminals, are able to get access to them. But the thing is that, the criminals that do get access to them aren't going to know who's armed and who isn't as long as the law-abiding citizens are allowed to, what's the word I'm looking for, to exercise their right, their Second Amendment right.
Sure.
And, without too much prejudice, law-abiding, those are the key words, and I totally understand that. But, so I don't know if you guys remember, but I was, ridiculously prolific when I first started blogging. I was, all over the place.
Oh,
I had, a daily news thing. I was everywhere, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, another redhead!"
Let me, since you're talking about getting into blogging, Brito wanted me to say to mention the whole how girls get into blogging things, you know, or girls get into the gun blogger thing, which is like, you know, you're a girl and you have a gun. And
yeah,
she goes, she specifically says boobs plus guns.
That's exactly what it was, is that like people started reading me because I had tits and I was a redhead and they were like, oh my God.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. A chick with a, you know, with a gun. Awesome. And then they were like, she's the new Tam. And I was like, well, no, but thank you, you know, kind of thing. Like, I appreciate, like, the comparison, but at the same time, like, Tam's like, she's, like, into guns. And I was just like, oh, guns, you know, so there's really no comparison. And she's more knowledgeable, and I totally, you know, understand that and appreciate that. And I'm not even going to try to go there. But my blog was more about, like, just kind of, you know, looking at politics as well as the gun culture, occasionally posting silly stuff, occasionally posting personal stuff. And then as I got further into it, it just seemed like around the end of 2009, which was kind of when I really slowed down. I was getting married anyway and all that shit what happened. But right around 2009, it just seemed like the blogosphere kind of imploded a little bit.
Yes,
and it just didn't seem as important. And I wasn't getting response to my posts that were well-written, well-thought-out the way that I was before. And I thought, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not going to put this much effort into something that only four people are reading, and I'm getting more trolls than I am actual, like, thoughtful commenters. And so I was like, I don't have time for this shit, so I slowed down. And I've noticed that around the same time, that's when Chance started doing All Linky, No Thanky.
Yes. For those of you new to the gun blogs, Chance used to actually write posts.
Yeah, he used to write really long, thoughtful posts.
Yeah.
He used to argue things. He used to, like, really participate in his comment section.
Yes.
And, little known fact, he actually hasn't, it might not be little known, but he has an undergraduate degree in psychology, and that's what I have my undergrad in. And he actually warned me in 2008, like, don't get that fucking degree because it's worthless. And then right after that is when he told me, you know what, I'm thinking about just doing All Linky, No Thinky, because I don't know that people are really reading anyway.
Well, actually, what it was is, you know, it's a psychology thing. People like to click, and they don't like to really read that much. And what he discovered was that the posts that were long and thoughtful, that took a lot of time and effort to write, nobody really looked at them, and there weren't very many comments. But the ones that were just like a link to something else got a shit ton of traffic. And, you know, incentives matter. And eventually he went from mostly writing with a few short links to almost never writing in all links. In fact, pretty much what he does now is he's got an RSS feed and it just kind of feeds into his blog.
that's pretty much how he described it. It's just like the same way that I was, except he still made the effort to actually put stuff out there. Whereas I was like, I'm not even going to like slog through all the news and bullshit and other blogs just to get something to link to somebody else, because I want to put my own spin on it. And if people aren't interested in reading my take on something, why the fuck am I blogging? And that's how I felt. That's how I felt about it. And
well, remember, you do it for you, not them. Isn't that that's like the big lie of the blogosphere, right?
Oh my God, the big lie.
I do it for me, not for them.
Hey, I'll argue that point.
I do everything. If it's public, it's for a fucking audience. And you know what? My Facebook is in public, and I do it for my Facebook.
Actually,
friends.
Brita has made this point earlier. Technically it is for you, but it's for your ego. It's not because if it was really just all for you, you'd write a journal on a piece of paper and put it, you know, hide it in your desk drawer, and nobody would ever read it.
Exactly. If anybody else can read it, it's not just for you.
Right.
You know? And I started doing that vlog, like, lately. Basically, the reason that I started doing my vlog was partially just to educate people about my condition, like my chronic Lyme and everything, because a lot of people just didn't understand. And it's kind of slowed down because I'm like, I have no more news to put on video for you guys. But I posted a video of my post-ictal stage, and this is kind of going off topic a little bit, but it is in the same vein. Because I have written long blogs about my condition. I've written about certain situations that have happened, my seizure disorder that's gone along with it, everything that's happened. I posted that link to the video, and I got more views in 4 days than I get in, like, 4 days on my blog. And I was like, how the fuck does that happen? But it was because it's the all, you know, the all linky, no thinky thing. Everybody would just watch the video. And I got 4 comments total out of like 300 video views. 4 comments. And they weren't all on the YouTube page. One was on the YouTube page.
Wow.
And it was just, it was ridiculous because I thought that many people are watching. You have to have something to say. You have to. I mean, come on, say something. And nope, they just wanted, they watched it. And granted, it was like a 12-minute long video, so I don't blame them. But at the same time, you know, like, That's what irks me is you go through this all this effort, and that was a big effort for me, with little return, even though you can see that people are looking at it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's how gun blogging became. And I just got tired of it, and I just feel like the whole thing's imploding. And I've seen other people say that even though, and I think I can't hear what Brita's saying, but she can probably back me up on this. Something that Brita posts on her Facebook probably gets more hits.
Actually, like, you know, if you pause for just a second, Brita's got something to say about that, and you won't hear it, but trust me, it's good.
Oh, okay.
Say it, Brita.
I use Facebook kind of like a micro blog. I will post links to.
I'm on a delay, so.
Oh, she'll hear it. I post links to news articles or other people's blogs or, you know, whatever on my Facebook. And I have 666 Facebook friends. Awesome. But so one day I posted a link on my Facebook to Say Uncle, one of Say Uncle's posts. And a couple days later, I got a message from Chance. And he said, I just wanted to let you know that I get as much traffic from your Facebook as a link from Tam. So, you know, I'm lucky in the fact that I have a lot of Facebook friends from people who read my blog initially, but I have a lot of Facebook friends that I just got from Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's
that aren't even interested in guns or anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the new media. And usually when I put up a link to a blog or a news article, I don't put a blog post. I don't put more than 2 sentences maybe,
right.
But people, it's all linky, no thinky. That's what people want. They just want to click and read the information
exactly
and be done and move on. And that's part of the reason why I think blogs, you know, write your blogs if you love it, but don't, you know, don't put all your eggs in that basket. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. Okay.
Okay, Bonnie.
Back to Bonnie.
Okay. I'm actually listening through my headphones to the delay.
Oh, okay.
So I heard you laugh, and then like 5 seconds later, I heard you laugh through my headphones.
Oh.
So I wanted to hear what she was talking about. I knew what she was going to be saying, but I wanted to go ahead and hear it.
Yes.
So, but I did hear it. And so, you know, Brita, I did hear you. Now I'm not listening now because otherwise I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, you can't talk with the delay.
Yeah, I can't do it. I would be ridiculous. But yeah, exactly what Brita said. Like, you know, I've got 555 Facebook friends, so I'm 111 behind you, Brita. But
nice.
When I post links to stuff on Facebook, I get so many more hits than if I post it anywhere else. And that's why I linked my Twitter and Facebook accounts. And that's why I use a Twitter. There was like a discussion in the chat earlier about how Twitter sucks and people don't use it and they don't like it and everything. The reason that I still use Twitter is because when I post something to Twitter, I've got like something like 200 followers on Twitter. Add that, there's probably a 20-30 person crossover to Facebook, but you know, that still leaves like 170 people individually on Twitter. And then you have, you know, my 500, you know, 25, whatever other Facebook friends. And that with that overlap, you know, I'm reaching like 585 people, or excuse me, I can't do math, but like over 600 people, excuse me. And they're seeing these links, and whether they click on them or not, they're seeing them.
Sure.
And that's way more people than I see a week come to my blog. So it is a lot better and a lot easier to get things out there using social media than it is to use a blog. And that's why I kind of agree with Frida as far as like social media dying. But the thing is you have to learn how to utilize it.
Well, things go through evolutions, you know. I mean, blogs were the proto social media, you know, but I think blogs.
I'm on LiveJournal. I know.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. You know, things evolve. There, you know, MySpace used to be big. I mean, MySpace is still around, and it's still, I guess, big. But
it's the ghetto of the internet.
It's not the thing anymore. Well, it's kind of taken over by bands. I mean, it's pretty much a music band thing now.
That's all I use it for is to follow art.
And blogs, you know, blogs aren't disappearing. They're not going away. But I think in the grand scheme of social media, blogs are definitely on the decline. I think you'll see blogs. Blogs will be used for PR and tech support and stuff like that. I don't think they're going to be the big social media thing. I mean, some big news names might run a blog where they post stories and stuff like that people read, but they'll cross post it onto Facebook so they can get traffic. And the interesting thing about Facebook is it's, not only do your friends see it, but when they like it or link to it or make a comment on it, all their friends see it too.
Exactly. Yeah. And so you do get like a lot more exposure. And I'm not saying that like blogs are going to be dead, but I do think, for example, like I said, I used to be on LiveJournal. I've actually been blogging in some form since 2002, so for the past 10 years. And I got a LiveJournal when I was like 19 years old. I was so young and emo, and that's all I used it for was like emo bullshit.
Well, you have to be emo on LiveJournal.
Of course you do, you know. And I didn't realize how far, like, I fit into the stereotype until I left LiveJournal and then came back. And I listened to my old posts and I went, who the fuck was that? Oh, my God, that was me. Oh, my God. It was terrible. But, I'm not really emo now, but I totally was back then. But anyway, like, LiveJournal, I locked my blog, or my LiveJournal, I guess, so that only the people who I was mutual friends with could read it. And so that was like, you know, basically gossiping with your friends is what right. LiveJournal is. And then I went to my big girl blog in, 2007. And, the reason I keep renewing my domain name is just because I love it. Like Squeaky Wheel Seeks Grease. I'm sorry. It's
yep.
brilliant.
It is
I'm going to
shoot
my own horn there. And, so I keep renewing it because I want to use it for other things. I want to use it for my music, for my vlog, for my photography when I get back into that. And eventually I want to use it for like, discussions on teaching and psychology and stuff because that's something that interests me. I don't know that it's going to continue to be a personal blog. I think it's going to evolve more into a personal website.
Right.
And I think that's the direction that blogs are going to go.
Yep.
I think people are going to use them as like kind of an aggregator for their personality more so than an opinion-based,
yep.
like just roll of entries.
I agree
think that's
completely.
Where that's going to go.
Yep. You're right.
Yeah, that's what I think. But yeah, that's basically the reason I called in is I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. But I think Mike W wanted to call in, so I'll probably just go ahead and hang up.
Thanks for calling, Bonnie. That was really good. Right? What did they say? The level of intelligence of somebody is how much they agree with you, or something like that. And
the level of intelligence, what
I'm butchering the saying, but there's I forget who said it, but somebody it was something along the lines of you can tell how smart somebody is by how much they agree with you. So you're pretty you're pretty smart.
Oh, see, so you think that I'm at least as smart as you is what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that.
All right, well, I'm gonna get off the phone now.
All right, thanks for calling.
No problem.
Oh, boy.
All right. Now, first up, I got to go. Alan, when I was on LiveJournal, was I emo?
Yes.
No, he was not.
Everybody
he was like
on
the anti-emo.
Everybody on LiveJournal is emo. You have to be.
They, weird is the anti-emo.
They send you, when you sign up for LiveJournal, they send you a razor blade. So you
yes.
can cut yourself.
Well, I do cut myself, but that's only because I hate hangnails.
Well, you certainly don't cut yourself shaving.
I just shaved
before
this.
Or at least not your face.
I shaved my neck just because I'm from Maine does not mean I need a neck beard.
Okay, then. All right. Well, we got another caller. I'm going to go ahead and take it. So,
okay.
Hello, area code 978. Hello.
That would be me.
Hello, me.
Hi, guys. How are we doing?
Doing all right.
Great.
I'm on the road to nowhere, so I figured I'd call.
Oh, it's Jay.
In.
Yes,
oh,
it is
my gosh.
Jay. Absolutely, it's Jay. I saw you.
Yes,
I saw you pop up on Skype, and I tried to call you, but it didn't work. And we're having some kind of weird audio.
I don't think the signal was strong enough to pick up Skype.
Okay. Well, we're having some kind of weird audio problem, too, and so you're probably not going to be able to hear Weird and Brita. But you can hear me, and they can hear you.
I can hear Alan.
Yeah.
So this is like a...
Fuck you, Alan, greasy guinea!
And Jay conversation.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
well, and they, but can, anyway. They can hear... Brita and Weird can hear you, and, of course, everybody else can hear you, too, so...
Yeah.
Tell them we're talking
smack. My God, there are people listening. Are you insane?
And Weird is talking smack about you right now, so...
Well, duh. He's just testing out how you eat not yet.
Yeah.
You're all I can say is, holy, holy shit, there's a lot of stars out here.
And aww. And when we were right about the, you know, when you see the sign that says last gas, you better stop.
Before the turn off the... What's that?
You're definitely in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is where bad things happen. this is the kind of terrain where just bad things happen. You know, the...
Yeah, don't break down.
You know, the zombies come out of the cornfield.
That's right.
Or, you know, you get a flat tire and that old van pulls over to, quote, help.
Oh, yeah. The one with the that says free candy on it.
What's it?
The one that says free candy on the side.
The one that says free candy on the side. You know, three guys get out and they got between them.
Yeah.
You're not from around here. I don't know. I gave it away. The fact that I had a full set of dental work? I don't know. See, Weird laughs because he's from Maine.
Hey, you heard Weird.
You heard me, Jay?
I did.
Wow.
No.
Maybe it's working.
I've been warned. I've been warned by numerous people not to speed on this road.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm behind an 18-wheeler going like 3 under, so I'm like really thinking about passing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and I'm in an Altima, so I'm in a foreign car. I'm in one of the foreign cars.
Oh, no.
And it's got New Mexico plates on it, so I'm going to be like, cool, I can pretend I'm one of the nerds.
Oh, but the Altima's got the CVT. Those are
there's like nothing. You can see lights off like 80 miles from here.
Yeah, it's because it's flat and there's nothing there.
I think I can see my house from here. I really do.
Well, you're
like, my God, it's Massachusetts.
You started off 5,000 feet up in the air, and now you're coming down. I think where Blagerado is, it's like 3,500 feet above sea level, something like that. So.
Yeah, it was,
be prepared
it was
to get
funny.
Being
I got
very
off the plane
tired.
And all of a sudden, I was unable to debate.
It's the altitude. That's
oh god,
the altitude makes him unable to debate.
That's
I'm
right.
Like, what? What?
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah, I kind of got an inkling that the debate went poorly when everybody was like, yeah, yeah, hey, the fall TV lineup's out, you hear? I skipped the debate.
Yeah, I didn't.
I'm like,
I didn't watch it either.
Are you shitting me? It's moderated by Jim fucking Lear of CBS.
Yeah.
Oh, this will be good.
Yeah, and even...
First question. President Obama, could you tell us how awesome you are in 10,000 words or less?
Yeah, you have 1 hour. Go.
Mitt Romney, have you stopped beating your wife yet?
Yeah, well, actually, and frankly, even given how awesome it sounded like Romney did compared to Obama and how sucky Obama was, I still, even in hindsight, I still have absolutely no desire to watch it at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did love watching, fuck, what's his name?
Chris Matthews.
I loved watching Chris Matthews cry on the air and have his meltdown. Yeah. That was hilarious.
Yeah, you just
you posted the I think you posted the picture.
Yes.
And you can see, like, they're just like,
oh yeah, he was crying. Like, he was all choked up.
I thought, like, folks were joking, you know, like, oh, we got, you know, you joke about that. Chris Matthews is on suicide watch.
Oh, yeah.
No, he was, holy shit, holy.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was.
The comeback was.
What was funny.
The comeback was perfect. Oh, Mitt Romney lied. He's a politician, you fuckwit. The fuck do you expect? He's a politician.
Yeah. And,
he
and,
lied.
Yes, because.
Oh, shit. And the sun rose in the east, you dolt.
Because Obama always tells the truth, right? Yeah.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Hey, no fair. Your guy did exactly what our guy does. Damn it.
Your guy did exactly what every other guy does.
And he did it better. Crap. Oh, man.
And he didn't look like as much of a simpleton.
Yeah. 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 You know, the reaction of the media, you know, everybody goes on and on. Oh, yeah, the media's in the tank for the Democrats and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, anybody that witnessed the complete meltdown of the mainstream media last night,
yeah,
you know, if you if you had any doubt whatsoever, if you don't realize it now, you're a fucking idiot.
Or a Democrat. But I repeat,
yeah,
myself.
Exactly. I mean, they were apoplectic. I mean, it was insane watching them go on and on about
the tweets from Hollywood were wonderful.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It was like, yeah. 5,000 feet.
All right.
Just entered Genoa, Colorado.
So you're
5,000 feet.
You're under a mile now. Yeah, well, you're starting to cut out pretty bad, Jay.
Yeah, I figured as much. I figured it wasn't going to last very long, but
hey, at least you got in.
I wanted to call in, let you guys know I was thinking about you and I love you.
Awesome,
and
man.
I'll see weird in this hog tomorrow.
All right, drive safe, man.
All right, take it easy, guys. Bye.
Aw.
Okay.
The TSA doesn't have problems with. The TSA doesn't have problems with that extra large can of Crisco as long as you check it in your luggage. I'm just saying.
That's right.
That's
they
all.
They might X-ray it a couple times just to be safe.
But that's not all for Jay. I promise.
They might steal it from you. They might steal it from you. You know. Just saying.
Like the woman who got the who had the dildo in her bag and she opened up her bag and found the note that said, "Get your freak on, girl."
Oh, no. Oh God.
Go TSA.
They're handsomely paid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're handsomely paid, and they were just fired from Wendy's.
Yeah.
Oh God! Don't
get me started.
Yeah,
I
was just gonna say, don't get Brita started on the TSA because.
Hey, speaking of TSA, Alan.
Yes.
You're getting on a plane on Saturday.
Yes,
I am. Are you
going
to be wearing the kilt?
I will not wear the kilt on the airplane.
Damn it. You
nope.
should. Hey,
nope.
It'd be funny.
Nope.
Kelly got through a TSA screen. He they tried to shunt him through the pervo scan. He says, "I'm going to refuse the scan."
Yeah.
And they said to her, "Sir, why are you wearing a kilt?" He said, "It's for kilted to kick cancer." They said, "Are you Scottish?" And he said, "No, I'm whatever Choctaw Indian and I don't know what other French Creole and all the other." He's a pretty good mix, that Kelly.
Yeah.
He's as Elizabeth Warren would say, he's a woman of color. and they said, "Sir, what are you wearing underneath your kilt?" He says, "Well, it's a kilt. If I was wearing something underneath it, it'd be a dress."
That's right.
And so they said, "You can go ahead." They didn't lay a hand on him because they did not want to touch Kelly's balls. And
I can't say that I blame them.
Well, I don't know. If I was Kelly, I'd be a little bit insulted.
Oh, you'd be one. Hey,
come on, touch them. Touch them just a little bit. They're nice and sweaty.
I wear the kilt just so you. Oh, okay. Yeah. So anyway, I'm not wearing the kilt. No.
No.
Not gonna do it.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Oh, that was a great H.W. Bush impersonation there.
Yeah,
that was the best. I mean, Dana Carvey's upset.
I will wear it some other day, but yeah, I'm just
you know, kilts and sitting, just, you know, I have a new sympathy for the ladies that have to wear the short skirts and sit. Just saying, you know, I feel your draft.
The draft's good. It keeps the boys dry.
Yeah, I'm just.
But needless to say, Alan, our historical people didn't do a whole lot of sitting.
Yeah, yeah. They're great for standing and great for squatting. And
by the way, Alan, is Andrews a Highland or a Lowland?
Fuck
name?
If I know.
He's from Texas.
Yeah, I'm not even really from Texas.
You're not even from Texas.
Yeah, I just.
Who are you anyway?
I just moved here at some point.
Where are you from originally, Alan?
I was born in Hawaii.
Like Obama.
That's right.
Kenya?
No, just Hawaii. And I have the birth certificate to prove it. Actually, the whole of the damn internet seen my birth certificate. Fuck you, Obama. If I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, and you actually have a birth certificate.
Yeah, I actually have the one on paper from the thing. But
actually, Obama has probably used your birth certificate online to forge his birth certificate.
May
have. Good work, Alan.
He may have. That's funny. No,
I don't care what we sport.
I think we need a caller who actually watched the debate, because none of us fuckers did.
Yeah, I watched clips on it, yeah. And it Romney really just was at the top of his game. And the thing that got me in all the clips that I saw was, what the hell was Obama smirking about the entire time? What is that? Every time Romney would say something, Obama would look down and smirk. What? He really seemed to me like, you know, when a kid gets caught doing something naughty and they are getting scolded, but they don't really care. So they're kind of like putting up with the scolding and they're like, yeah, whatever. That's exactly what he looked like to me.
I'm betting his training for the debate was, you're going to win this one, buddy. You're going to really.
You're going to do probably. Good. Lurch that was his training partner or something like that?
John Kerry?
Yeah.
John Forbes, I'm semi-retarded Kerry.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, I'm sure John Kerry was saying, you know, how absolutely brilliant Obama was and all of his responses and all that because...
Well, compared to Kerry, good Lord.
Compared to Kerry, he was absolutely brilliant. I mean, Kerry lost to George W. Bush.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you do that?
I don't know.
9/11.
Yeah, maybe. So if you actually watched the debate in real time, call in and tell us what you thought about it.
Actually, not going to call because I keep telling her is my wife.
Oh.
Evidently, I rolled over and went, "Are you watching TV?" And then rolled back and went to sleep again. I was really tired.
You probably got a better use of your time than the people that watched it.
Oh, I don't. I don't watch debates. Yeah. I'm an absolute political junkie. I do not give a shit who wins this presidential
debate.
But
the thing is, debates are bullshit. I mean, they're not even really debates. I mean, not in the college debating society sense of a debate where you have a position and you support it and defend it and all that kind of stuff. This is just an hour and a half, whatever it was. This is just an hour of standing up and spewing your bullshit and having as many people as possible listen to it. I mean, it's an alternating campaign talk is all it is.
Yeah, it's the same reason why I do not watch a single political speech, because it's just lies, it's
blah 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 blah. You know, their lips are flapping and the air is coming out, and what they say has absolutely nothing to do. It has no meaning whatsoever. It's all bullshit. And Mike W is calling.
Ooh. Excellent.
I know that dude.
Hello,
woman of color.
Hello, Mike W.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little fuzzy, but I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm fuzzy.
I didn't watch the whole debate. I watched basically the second half of the debate, so I don't know how poorly Obama did in the first half.
Very poorly, I'm told.
but the second half was it was just hilarious how bad he was. I mean, I don't have very high expectations of him, but he did worse than I thought he could possibly have done.
Wow.
And Brita was absolutely right when she said that he was smirking the entire time. He had this disgusting grin on his face for about half the debate.
Wonder what that was. Something's going on in his brain. Something's happening, and it's not. Honestly, I don't think he wants to win.
I don't think he wants to be there. I don't think he does either.
He likes being president, but he doesn't want to have
being president.
Right. I don't think he likes the actuality. It's all so hard. It's, you know, it's tough.
Think about it. I mean,
it's hard work.
He's a narcissist, so yep. He likes being in the spotlight, having everything revolve around him.
Yep.
But when he actually has to do things and say things and take positions, then people
he's leaving himself open for criticism. I mean, he could fuck something up and get blamed for it, which would be the end of the world, you know, as far as he's concerned.
Well, we all know how much narcissists like that. So.
I think what he's doing, I think what he's doing is he's setting himself up so when he loses, he could say, you know, I didn't, you know, if I'd have tried, I probably could have won again, but I wasn't really interested and I really didn't try. So, you know, okay. I'm retiring to Hawaii in my $35 million house, and I'm going to give speeches and make millions of dollars.
He's basically lowering expectations.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's what he and the media did that before the debate, you know. Oh,
yeah.
Well,
debate's not my thing and blah, blah, blah. In fact, they even came out again saying, he didn't do any good, but we're not going to do much more prep than we did for this.
Actually, that's my roommate actually made that point, and he was discussing the debate with me that, he didn't do well because he didn't prep very much, and frankly, I don't want him to prep because he should be doing other more important things.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I know.
That's ridiculous.
The day before the debates, he went the Hoover Dam.
You're a liberal, you have to defend Obama, so.
Why do you have a liberal roommate? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, it's funny because he doesn't like being told that he's a liberal.
Oh. So you're trolling your roommate?
Not really. I just if he's a liberal, he's a liberal.
So. Oh, Mike W.
I can't help myself.
All right then. Well, thanks for calling, Mike.
Yeah, all right. Good to talk to you.
Have a good one. So, all right.
That was Mike W.,
a wise Latina. He likes big butts, and he cannot lie.
That's right. He is a white Hispanic meat popsicle.
Oh, shit. Yeah, well, okay, it's almost 9:30.
10:30.
Yeah, like I said, it's almost 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking in American time here.
Yeah, yeah, I'm talking American time.
America.
So if if nothing happens to like make me interested in like 5 minutes, I vote we quit. Because
well, I wanted to ask Weird real quick. What are you bringing to Colorado to shoot?
Not a whole lot, only because it's just. I don't have a ton of. TSA sanctioned gun cases.
Oh,
and also I haven't been out there, and so I mean I don't have any, like, unlike Jay, I don't have any real long range rifles.
You don't need them. People will bring them and be happy to let you shoot them.
That's also what I know, is I know that there's a whole bunch of people that have a shitload of guns, and a lot of them aren't flying in, so all I'm bringing is Farm Dad specifically said when I bought my PM45, Weird, bring that to Bloggerado. So I'm not going to disappoint him with that. And I'm also bringing my beloved Smith & Wesson 6.17 because I fucking love that gun. And I'm just gonna mooch off of everybody else and kill me some prairie dogs and maybe cut some testicles off a cow.
There you go. Maybe
everybody can hear the train.
I can hear the train.
My train?
Yeah.
No, my train.
Okay, yeah, because my train's not going by. And you can't hear it down here in the armory.
Oh. Well,
I'm underground, bitches.
people can hear my train over the show. Yeah, it's this is. Hey, I can talk about Willoughby.
Yeah, talk about Willoughby.
The Twilight Zone episode, Last Stop Willoughby, or whatever stop at Willoughby. The guy rides the train, you know, into the past, and you know it's
that's,
Twilight Zone
that's my
episode.
Favorite Twilight Zone
stop
episode.
At Willoughby, I think it's called Last Stop Willoughby.
Well, more than How to Serve Man.
Yes, I didn't care for How to Serve Man.
Rod Serling made that episode because he used to take a train through our town on his way to New York City. So we have trains going through Willoughby all the time. And I actually live in the Willoughby that is based, the show is based on. So,
and you have snow.
And we might have snow this week.
Damn
for
it.
You, Alan.
I don't want the snow.
Yeah.
I want to
so,
see the
anyway,
leaves.
There you go. There's
the
Amish. There's the train story.
The weather took a turn. I posted for my little squirrel report pimp post. I posted a picture that I took in my backyard last week of a squirrel playing in my yard, and I realized, hey, it's sunny out. It hasn't been that way since I took that picture. It has been nothing but liquid sunshine here in Massachusetts.
Oh.
It's amazing. Like, it immediately started getting dark and dreary, and the leaves started falling off the trees. It was just like, all right, it's fall. Get to it.
Wow.
Are you having good colors on your leaves this year or no?
We don't have that big a diver. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm from New England. I never gave a shit about that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We're having a good.
Nice autumn. Have trees in New England. I know you do.
Yeah. Yeah. There. Yeah. We've got. Yeah. There's the maples are all bright red and the piece of shit, whatever the fuck it is in front of my house is yellow. I don't know what it is, but it's ugly tree that drops branches into my gutter. And they're changing colors, but they do it every year, and I got to fucking rake up and scrape them out of my gutter. Right?
Yes.
I've never got leaf peepers. Now the one difference is that my wife once convinced me during peak leaf season we drove up to Vermont and spent some time with her family and. Took a few scenic turns through the mountains at peak leaf season, and it was pretty. It was awful pretty. If you go to like some nice, you know, completely rural tree filled areas, it can get really pretty. But it's still one of those things of the. I still don't really get it because that's just what trees look like this time of year.
Yeah, and you have to rake the leaves, and it's a mess, and. Yep. And then it snows.
And then it snows. I bought my last steak of the year, two weekends ago.
What do you mean last steak of the year? Are you crazy?
Because it was one of those like, you know, Mrs. Weird said, oh, can you, if we get a steak, will you grill it up? I said, yeah, I think I can manage. And I ended up cooking it on the George Foreman actually and overcooking it because it's fucking George.
Oh.
But it turned out okay. It was a good steak. But
it's still steak.
Yeah, I didn't buy one of my cheapo steaks on. I can make a cheap steak taste awful fucking good on the grill, but you know you gotta really watch it. You gotta do it just right. It's the last steak. There's no more real grilling weather. Not because it's it's too cold or too this or too that. It's fucking dark at 6:30. So
yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, you go outside.
I can cook a steak, but if I'm watching it to make sure that it's the exact right thing, I can't fucking see shit out there. Even when I turn on the floodlights,
yeah,
it's still just
that's
it's.
True.
It's artificial light. You need sunlight just to properly grill.
That's true. I never thought of it that way. You're right.
Yeah, it's one of those. I've grilled like in the middle of the day, like on a weekend in January, and that's
sure.
No fucking problem. You just turn the grill up a little bit higher to keep the heat going, and it's all fine and good, but the issue is that most, you know, most of the time is I come home from work and I fire up the grill and I make some food, and then my wife comes home and we have a nice family dinner because I don't wear the pants. I'm the bitch in this house. I clean toilets.
Well, who doesn't?
Wait, Alan, you live in an apartment. You're a bachelor.
I clean toilets.
Why are you doing that?
Because I like toilets to be clean. I also mop floors, vacuum carpet, and you know, change the sheets on my bed every now and then. I mean, it's
all right. I would change the sheets on my bed once I started getting really good traction on them. but I think I cleaned my toilet 3 times in my apartment in Portland back in my bachelor days.
Oh no.
It was really nice. It was one of those really obnoxious bathrooms that was like bright pink.
Oh, God.
And if you let the toilet go, it matches.
Oh, no. No, toilets need to be cleaned at least once a week. Weird.
Oh, it's pink. It's nice. If it turned brown, maybe I'd change my mind. But pink's kind of a, you know, pink's got the best of color.
I mentioned I was mopping the floor once to Brita, and she was like, oh, porn.
Porn for women. Make a video of it and put it on the internet.
Alan, you could have a lucrative career right there.
Well, I was naked at the time, so, you know.
God. Okay. Anyway.
Why do you mop the floor naked?
Because I was.
I don't know. Aren't you worried about getting your balls scummy?
Well, I don't roll them around on the floor.
Wait, your balls don't roll around on the floor when you're mopping the kitchen?
No.
I feel pee.
Am I doing something wrong?
Yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, yeah, you're doing something wrong.
I need to start a Kickstarter to get me a testicle tuck.
Oh, yeah. How about a Kickstarter to give me some money?
The first 10 people will get a Squirrel Report t-shirt.
Yeah, give me a dollar. The give me a dollar Kickstarter.
As soon as we get Squirrel Report t-shirts, I think we really should, because
we need to have Miguel's quote. I really, really liked that quote about if you idiots can put this shit on.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes it even works, you know, with the call-ins.
Every now and then it really works.
Yeah.
I'm kind of pissed off at it right now, though.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, we're taking
it
next week off. I think we should have that announcement right now, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the thing. Next week, instead of having a live show, we're going to do a rerun because I can. So if you want to listen, we'll stream a rerun. If you want to let me know which one you like, or say it in the chat or call or something like that, we'll do a
my vote will be for the injury episode.
Ah, that was a good one.
That was a really good one.
Yep.
That was the first one that we survived solely on calls.
That's true.
Whatever you do, don't pick one of the ones that I'm not on.
Oh, well, of course.
Because them aren't any good.
No, I would only play one that had all of us on it. Because,
well, no, we can pick one without Jay.
I don't want to hear him cry about it.
I had to throw the poor bastard under the bus.
Hey, we got a call from Dennis. Let's.
Oh, Dennis!
Hey there, Dennis.
Hey. I know that the other. I've been listening that they're having connection problems and can't hear this. But if you guys are actually going to do T-shirts, I'm going to start doing Squirrel Report holsters also.
Oh, God.
Only because, and I don't know if those guys are, I had to turn it down.
They can hear you. They can hear you. You just can't hear them.
The whole thing is, and you're not going to believe this, I still sell Vicious Circle holsters.
I'm not surprised.
Matter of fact,
that's a cool stamp.
You have a fan. in Australia who bought a Squirrel Report Talon holster from me, had me ship it to
a vicious circle one.
Yeah, a VC. Had me ship it to his sister or sister-in-law in California, and she's going to handle shipping it to him.
Wow.
So, yeah, you have a VC holster.
Was it Tarb?
On its way. Excuse me?
Was it Tarb? Was it Talbot in Perth?
Yes.
Okay.
Talbot.
Okay.
Yes, that's his name, Talbot. So, and he placed the order a couple weeks ago, said he, he's been thinking about it, and he really, really wants it. So he placed the order, and I got it out to him.
Wow.
But I'm definitely going to do a Squirrel Report version and offer that, too. And I'll bet you there's going to be people who are going to buy it. Let me know when you do the T-shirt so that I can make sure.
Well, it'll be some variation of the Squirrel-a-con, the Squirrel-a-corn, the little squirrel head with the little antenna on his...
Okay, well, when I see what you get for the, when you finally get the design settled, let me know, and I'll make the same exact thing. That way people can have a shirt and a holster and they match.
Oh, Lordy. Okay.
And then they'll start engraving the side plates on their revolver with the Squirrel Report, a little engraving. Oh, absolutely. Anyway, Brita and Weird, hello. Haven't talked to you guys in a while. Hope you're doing well. And there you go. I'll let you go. I know it's getting close to the end of your time segment here.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling, Dennis.
Take it easy now. Bye-bye.
By the way, I can't wait to see Dennis's new holster that he gave to Jay. The Viper holster.
Oh, I saw that. I saw a picture of that.
That is a sharp looking holster. I can't wait to have a look at it.
What kind of is that alligator? What is the skin insert on that? Some kind of reptile.
I don't know. I'll get more information. It might be ostrich though.
No, it looked like a scaly something or other.
Yeah, the ostrich legs have the scales.
Oh.
Ostrich leg. I've so many times said, what is that? Got a good friend who builds knives out of exotic skin, and I'm like, is this alligator? Is this snake? Nope, that's ostrich. The ostrich legs are really scaly.
Well, birds are like old; they're like dinosaurs.
Especially the ostriches and the emus and such. They're dinosaurs. What do you mean, blech?
They're big. Those big birds creep me out.
Delicious.
I'm sure.
Are they? I think they'd be kind of tough.
They just creep me out. Birds are just kind of creepy just to begin with. They give you that look.
Well, that's because they're dinosaurs and they want to eat you.
Yeah.
If they were any bigger, they would.
Well, ostriches are pretty goddamn big, and they won't eat you, but they'll kick the fuck out of you.
I mean, I get that look all the time from Myra, my turtle. I don't need it from like a bird that's like taller than me.
If Myra was bigger, she'd eat you.
She has tried to eat my toes. Are you kidding?
See?
She sees my toes and she's like, oh, those look meaty.
My turtle bit the shit out of me many times.
Yeah.
And if they break the skin, immediately hit the water to it because reptile saliva is essentially a very, very, very crude venom.
It'll burn
like a son of a bitch.
Yeah, I don't let her get that.
Oh, by the way,
I'm very careful.
I have no idea what it was for, but it was the coolest goddamn thing on earth. I took a tour of one of the new animal facilities. It has a turtle room.
Nice. Really?
Yep.
Can you go play in the turtle room with the turtles?
No, I cannot. Because they're not my turtles. I'm still just a rat and mouse guy.
Oh, too bad.
Maybe I'll branch out.
Too bad. Myra has a new house. I built Myra a new indoor house.
Oh, that's right.
And she's loving her new sun lamp. She sits under it and hangs out.
Are you gonna keep the sun lamp on her so she doesn't hibernate?
Yeah, yeah. It seems to be working. She's very active, and she's kind of slowing down on the eating thing right now. So I'm trying to give her the UV and stuff to get her appetite back. But.
My turtle had like the 70 degree aquarium all the time, and yeah, he never noticed any difference between the seasons. Then again, he was a more tropical species than Myra anyway. She's a very temperate tortoise.
She is, yeah. She is. She's doing pretty good. I've had her for 18 years. So.
That's how long I had my turtle for. I hope I didn't jinx you.
Don't jinx me. She's fine.
Oh, no, she'll live a long, long time.
She's absolutely fine. No, I had my turtle for about 18 years, and he ended up getting like a respiratory infection.
That happens.
It happens. It happens. It was no big deal. It was, you know, it was sad, but you know what? It was. He did.
Let's not talk about it anymore.
but he's still alive. He's just living on a farm.
Is he on the farm with Beatus?
Yes, in New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Good. Yep. Excellent.
It's
nice. I'm happy now.
In the lowlands in New Mexico where it's nice
running
and
running free with Beatus the rat.
That's right. They're buddies.
Cool.
Beatus rides on his back.
And he tries to bite his balls.
Miguel said in chat earlier that no matter what the topic is on any show, if Weird Beard's on, it always turns to testicles.
Well, because testicles are awesome.
And it's really true.
I use them to mop the floor.
Oh, God. Okay, on that note, can we end the show?
If you use them to mop the floor, what happens when you wring them out?
Oh,
I don't wring them. I rinse them.
Oh, okay. I guess we're about done.
Okay. Well, have a good week. 2 weeks, everybody.
Yeah, have a good two weeks. I'm going to go to Ohio.
Yeah, Alan's coming to Ohio to see the leaves and meet Amish people. See the Amish people in the wild.
That's right. I'm going to see Amish people in the wild.
The Amish stew.
To quote Alan Andrews, y'all can go to hell. I'm going to Ohio.
That's right.
That's right.
I don't get a fall here in Texas. I have to go somewhere else to see fall.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if this probably has a whole lot of cross interest with our readership, but also Breedy, you might be interested in this. Over on the Adam Carolla Network, that Penn Jillette has a show called Penn Sunday School, and it was, I believe, 2 weeks ago. It's called "Give Me Bacon and Stay at My House," is the title of the podcast. And it talks about the dude that Oscar Mayer hired to drive cross country, and he was not allowed to bring.
Oh yeah, cash, I remember reading about that.
But he was allowed to bring several hundred pounds of bacon.
That's right. He traded bacon for his needs.
Was it the thick cut bacon? Because
oh yeah, it's the butcher cut.
Oh well, I'd let him stay in my house.
And it's Oscar Mayer, which is, I got to say, when I first bought Oscar Mayer when it was on sale, I thought, nah, this probably isn't going to be very good because their hot dogs are shit. And nope, it's good bacon. I really like Oscar Mayer.
Yeah.
But also on that show, he's got kind of a similar format where he has people call in and all that. And one of his call-in guests was a guy who was raised Amish. Didn't learn to speak English he learned to speak English really early, but never didn't actually get like a taste of most stuff until he was like 16, 17, 18.
Right. And they go on Roomspringer.
He was saying his community was not, they had it, but it was really not like some of the other ones. They don't let people go out and really be all that free. It's more just they give the kids some latitude to do some things that are generally frowned upon within the community. But yeah, he was, this guy was all, you know, he went by the name of David, which he says was not his real name, but good enough because he didn't want, he didn't necessarily want to get too much blowback from the Amish community. Not that they listen to that many podcasts.
Thank you.
But it was a whole interview with a formerly Amish atheist.
Huh.
It was very, very, it's a fucking good show.
That's interesting.
Unlike this one.
If you listen to this show, you might want to, you know, go over to like the Adam Carolla Network and hear what actually podcasts are supposed to sound like.
With callers and everything.
It's my head hitting the desk.
Yeah, okay. Well, good night, everybody. Thank you for putting up with us for almost 2 hours.
Yep.
And Weird, have a great time in Colorado.
I will. I'm excited because I have not been, and so I'm interested to see what it's all about. I've heard stories, but
yeah, you know, and I hope you get to eat the scrappy nibbles because those
you
are
do,
testicles.
Do not let Kelly give you a lap dance.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
If Kelly offers me a lap dance and if he says there's nothing under his kilt, I'm reaching under there. I love me some Kelly. He is a fine, fine woman of color. I'm not racist.
Oh, God.
Well, have fun.
Right. Have fun.
And good night.
Y'all
good night,
have a good weekend. Good, have a good next week. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
Bye.
If we decide to.
Yeah.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night, all.